Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Alex with Born to Compete. Listen, man, on the B2C Sports Talk Radio, of course, we talk youth sports and high school sports. Hey, man, tonight is a good night because I got a good friend of mine, Tony Ballard, on right now, man. And we are going to talk high school football and the quarterbacks that are out there that are handling their business. You know, there were some big games this past weekend. You had the Corky Kell Classic. You had Jordan Yates do his thing. You had Knox Kadem from Rome, Jordan Yates from Milton. Harrison Bailey, obviously everybody knows about him. You know, he was phenomenal. Threw for 6 touchdowns. Like, dude, that's crazy, man. So you had a lot of people playing very, very well. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think those guys, at the end of the day, you know, everybody left the ball game talking about how good those guys were, whether they won or they lost. But right now I got the man himself. I like to call him the guru personally. You know, Tony Ballard. He has one of the best 707 programs in the country with Hustle Link. He's also a quarterback trainer that gets the job done, man. I've recommended kids to him. I sent my own son there. So obviously, you know, he knows what he's doing. So, Tony, can you hear me, man?
I can. How you doing?
You know what, man? Life's pretty good, man. I get to be on the phone with such a superstar like you, man. As I always say, you know, I like to surround myself around people like you, you know, that have private jets and private helicopters and, you know, people waiting on you hand and foot. You know, you're the type of person I like to be around. So I'm glad you're here.
Man, did you really just say that? Private jet? I need to get that then.
All right, man. So we had some good matchups this past weekend. And I know some quarterbacks really stood out to you. And we'll just kind of go down the list here. And what I'll do is I'll serve it up to you and you just go ahead and tell me, you know, what you thought of the kids. So the first kid, obviously, we talk about Harrison Bailey a lot. Tell me what you thought about him this past weekend.
You know what? Most people may say, what was Harrison Bailey going to bring to the table, being the fact that they were going to play such a powerhouse team like Rome? And remember, Rome is no slouch. They've won back-to-back state championships. They haven't lost games in 2 years. I'd like to talk about Harrison and Knox Kadem like in the same breath if we could do that, because I thought that was a pretty good football game between two quarterbacks that I thought who do an extremely well, a great job at what they do in terms of what they do for their program. When you talk about Harrison Bailey, then obviously you talk about being, you know, the big arm, the 6'4", 6'5", you know, 200-plus-pound kid. I think the biggest thing that I took from Harrison, not the fact that you and I both know, and I think everybody who knows Harrison knows he can make all the throws. Well, the thing I took away from what Harrison did is not only the fact that he can make all the throws, but the fact that he was absolutely as mobile as they come. Harrison completed his first 8 passes. His first 8 passes of that game, the first 5, he took them down on a drive, hits Romeo like on a little bit of a hitch route, and Romeo takes the rest of the distance or whatever. I think that Harrison did a tremendous job. You're talking about, you know, the numbers that he put up with a 70.95 completion rate and 6 touchdowns. I mean, I thought he played as phenomenal as you could really ask a quarterback to play under the circumstances that, you know, obviously some of those kids are obviously ruled ineligible and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Rome won that game or whatever. But I think that if there might have been 1 or 2 passes that Harrison might want back, of course. But other than that, how can you go wrong with those numbers that he put up? And, you know, I was very proud of him. But with the fact that who he was playing against, not Kadem, who has absolutely been in that system for 4 years and probably had a little bit of it in middle school as well, I thought Knox did an absolute great job. And I hate to say the word managing that game. I don't want to say manage because I think he played a big role in his – and what he did for that team to be successful last night. It had nothing to do with manage. It just had to do with making the right decisions with the football, absolutely taking off when he did, because there were situations where Marietta had room in 3rd and long, and all of a sudden you would just see Knox just take off on the quarterback keeper for about 10, 12 yards and put themselves in a position that it was manageable for them to go for on 4th down or whatever. He made the right reads. I thought he just did a superb job in terms of that, and it was exciting to see those two young men play and play at a high level. Because I tell you what, when it comes to the next level, I think whoever picks these two kids up at the collegiate level, they're gonna get some real quarterbacks.
Yeah, real, you know, I'm looking at Harrison Bailey. And with Harrison Bailey, you see a kid that, you know, everybody wants, right? You know, like you said, 6'5", you know, 220-pound kid. And I think if anybody saw anything, you saw his mental toughness. Because, you know, look, when everything's going well, of course, right, everybody's going to look good. But in that game right there, they were getting their butts handed to them pretty bad. And for that quarterback to still compete, just like the score was tied the entire game, come on, man. That's good football.
That's great football.
You wanted your leader. Yeah.
And they still had opportunities. They still had opportunities in the last 6 minutes to absolutely kind of be able to possibly win that football game. You know, a couple things of some fumbles or whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, the one thing that people don't know about Harrison is Harrison is the biggest competitor of them all. And what do I mean by that? Is Harrison's going to work his tail off. I don't think I've seen any quarterback that I've dealt with work as hard as he does. Not only just in the mental aspect of playing this game, but also in the physical attributes. And you look at the things that Harrison absolutely dropped 15 pounds from about 230. He fluctuates between now about 213, 217, 215, whatever it may be right now. And it showed because he was absolutely getting out the gate where he got about a 26-yard scamper on Rome. And it looked like the Harrison Bailey from the eighth grade. So I would kind of tell people right now, you know what I'm talking about, because did some things to Rome eighth grade when he was in eighth grade that I'm going to tell you right now. He's going to show you a glimpse of that this year, and then next year you're going to really see what Harrison Bailey was in eighth grade versus now, because a lot of people got to understand that Harrison was 14 when he first jumped on the scene in high school football.
Yeah.
Most kids are reclassifying. They're a little older, whatever it may be. So the things that he did as a 14-year-old, now that he's mature, he's old, now he's 16. So what is his body doing? Mm-hmm. Catching up with his dog. His body is catching up now with his age. You know what I'm saying? His age is catching up with his body now. So that's that. I would say that. Just wait and see. Just wait and see. He's going to show you something to see.
Now, the guy Jordan Yates and Milton. Look here, man. Every now and again, and me and you talk about it, throw the stats out, okay? I don't care what the numbers are. Just put the team on your back and let's go to work.
That's exactly what it is. And the stats don't mean a hill of beans when it comes to Jordan Yates. Because Jordan Yates did some things that against Archer that I was like, Georgia Tech got the right guy.
Yeah, they did.
They got the right guy because, in all honesty, I think Jordan has some things that he has the entire package at quarterback that Georgia Tech hasn't seen in a long time in terms of what they're running their offense. He can spin it.
Yes.
He can sit in a pocket and throw it. He can progression read. He can do all those things, but he also can he can tuck that football. He can take off with it like no other, and he will basically stretch it. So I was really impressed with what he did. And one thing also too I like about Jordan, and I know him, but I don't really know him. But he's got a little it factor. I think he's got a little chip on his shoulder. He brings that to the table a little bit.
I agree. I think he feels that he's been underrated, you know, for a long time, you know, and I think that he came up to the station a couple weeks back. He did an interview. And you know how you can just tell with somebody? Like, I honestly believe he's sitting at the station like, you know, I appreciate being here, but I feel I should have been here a long time ago. Y'all should have been here up here. You know, you could just feel it. You know, great kid, very respectful. But, you know, sometimes you could just feel it from a kid. And I think he's going to – this is last year. I don't know how far they're going to go in the playoffs, but they're going to go down with a fight. I can say that. I don't know when it's going to happen. But if anybody's going to be left on that field, he's going to leave everything he has on that field. Now, what else did you see? What other quarterback stood out to you this past weekend?
Austin Kersey, the kid over at Walton.
Yes, sir.
That his 18 of 29, 344, three touchdowns, 57 yards rushing with two touchdowns, a total of five touchdowns. I saw a little chip from him too. Now Nevada's getting a steal. Nevada just
yes they
him.
Are
because I tell you right now ain't no way in the world he should be at no Nevada. But you know what?
Yeah.
In defense, nobody said you had to go down this road to go to college. So whatever road he's going down, which is the Nevada road, the best of the power to it. He could probably go to Nevada and do some damage, and you never know. He may surface something in terms of at the next level after that. But I would tell you, I saw a big physical kid make some throws from the pocket. I saw his ability to, you know, when there was conflict in the pocket, to escape, whether it was out the front door or the back door. I saw him move. I saw him go through progression. I saw him throw balls on time, you know, and I just absolutely, I was absolutely like, okay, this that dude, this a dude, he can play. I'll tell you like this, and that is, I think with him and Dominique Blaylock, that is a crazy tandem that's going on right now. Because I saw Dominique go up and take balls from defenders. You know, you may call it. Some people may say, hey, maybe it was a pick or whatever it may be. But I saw him act like he was a five-star receiver, which means that the fact that he's considered a five-star, when people say that they're five-star guys, you want to see them kind of separate themselves from the pack. So that whole issue right there, I really love. And it's crazy how that tandem is going to be put together, because, in my opinion, I absolutely think that the best tandem in high school football right now is Harrison Bailey and Ramel Keaton. So it would be kind of crazy to see that those two types of talent, or those four kids with that kind of talent, come out of Cobb County and get on the national surface in terms of putting up numbers the way that they will do. And who's to say, maybe somewhere down the line, them two teams may meet in a playoffs or something of that nature. So, but I tell you what, I was really impressed with Austin. I really was.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, my first time seeing him was last year. They played Lassiter, and he didn't start the game. I'm not sure what happened, but I know he didn't start the game. And he came in, and the score was tied. He came in that game and turned the entire game around. I mean, my goodness, man. You talk about the it factor. Talk about chip on the shoulder. He got it. He got it.
I think he does too. Yeah, I think I'll go to war with him anytime.
Absolutely. He stands out. Now, what else did you see? Like, caught your eye this past weekend?
Two kids who I think who has confidence.
Okay.
I think two kids show that, you know, and they're both kind of going down the similar paths. Hey, didn't really get a chance to play as freshmen and sophomores. They end up transferring schools. They're actually good buddies. They're friends. Grew up together in terms of working out and things of that nature. Both of them got a chance to play as juniors. I think one got to play a little bit more than the other one for whatever reason. But two kids that come to mind, and these two kids are Zach Calzado, who's committed to Texas A&M, and Jalen Willard, who's committed to Southeast Missouri University. I think both of those kids showed that the confidence was there. The offseason has paid off. They got offers. They got an opportunity to visit universities and commit. And then their play speaks for itself in the beginning. Now, they both got tough roads coming up. They both got tough roads. But just the fact that just to see them get their feet up under themselves and have a little bit of a confidence booster, I really enjoyed watching those kids, those two kids play. I mean, obviously, Zach threw three touchdowns and he rushed for one. And Jalen threw four touchdowns. I think he was somewhere around about 240 in his yards or whatever. I saw, when I looked at Jalen Phil, I saw calm presence in the pocket. I saw throwing on time. I saw things that a year ago I was a little skeptical about. And I think that the reason why he didn't have that confidence last year is because they didn't have that confidence, meaning Westlake, because they was in this rotation with him and another kid or whatever it may be. I think that when you start, when you know you're the guy and everybody else is behind you, you're not fighting, I think you can get a little bit more out of you, get a little bit more confidence. You'll put a lot more work, not only on the field, but in the film room. And I saw that based on what he did. I saw that. The Zach Calzada, I saw swagger. I saw he threw a ball that off his back foot that was crazy in terms of a deep out from the boundary to the field. So, you know, you start to see that, and you want these, you feel nothing but joy for these kids. But they both starting off this season pretty good. Not only that, but they both know they got some tough roads ahead. So they kind of, you know, enjoy it for a minute and got to get back to work, because they both got tough games coming up this coming week.
So I was I thought that was confidence building for both of those kids.
Yeah, both are talented, man. Talking about Jalen Williams, he had to develop more from a mental standpoint. And then Zach Calzada, he had to develop more from a physical standpoint. It's just good to see those two things work out for those young men. Now, let's go into sleepers. You say you got sleepers for me. You've been panning the everywhere that goes, you know, football goes on, panning the landscape.
I'm watching them, and I'm watching these two kids closely because we talk about how Georgia is such of a hotbed. Well, the hotbed is going to continue to go. It's going to continue to go. But when you talk about some sleepers, you got to talk. I'm going to bring four names. Yeah, and I know this one kid is not a sleeper. But he's a 2021. That kid, the young man's Brock Vanderbilt, down in I think it's Athens. I mean, he put up some ridiculous numbers. So I think that he's on his way. I think that's somebody that people need to keep their eye on. I like to see what he's going to do against some big level competition because I think they got some big games coming up. Kyle Tools, who's at Lee County, they won state last year. Now he was the backup last year. He's a 2020. I think he's a kid that when we talk about, I always make this statement about cream rising to the top. I think he's one of those guys. And he's just now getting his opportunity to start to play. He played one quarter the other night, 9 of 18, 138 yards, two touchdowns. That's in two quarters. Just keep in mind, he has a splitting image of his cousin, who is Davis Mills, who is at Stanford. Remember what I just told you? He is a splitting image of his cousin. Watch what this kid does, and it's going to be crazy. The other two sleepers that we're talking about is the two young kids in that 2022 class. Chad Masco down at Thomasville and Gunnar Stockman, young man that's up at Raven County. I think that when you keep lighting that torch, that's where it's going to keep going. Because those two are just – tremendous athletes. That's one. Two is I think they spent a lot of time in the offseason, not only just getting their body work, but I think they're getting the physical stuff together. I mean, obviously obviously that Gunnar Stockton is being coached obviously by Connor Shaw, who's quarterback over at South Carolina, his dad. So they're at Raven County, and obviously Chad Masco has obviously gotten some great coaching in the offseason, you know, from Enrique Hines, and then obviously at Thomasville. That's a great program for him to be in. And he's both these kids are the starters. So look for these two young men. Don't be surprised when their name is starting to surface week in and week out in terms of what they're doing on that football field. No question.
You know, I didn't get a chance to watch Gunner's film yet. But I tell you, I did get a chance to watch Chad's film from this past weekend. And you watched him, and here's what I look at when I look at quarterbacks. Now, I'm not no quarterback guru, even though we've been around for a while. I'm not a quarterback guru.
Right.
But things I look for is the ball coming out on time, and is a decision being made. And there's always some point in the game. That might not happen every game, but there's a point in the game where you're going to have to make a tough throw. Do you have the kahuna, so to speak, to make it? And there's a dig route. The linebacker sitting right there in the hole, he lets it rip. It basically goes through the linebacker's hands. The kid catches it, you know, and for anybody just out there watching it, hey, that's a regular play. You know, for us football fanatics, you know, that's been around the game for a while, we look at that play like, oh, my goodness. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow, he had the courage to pull it. And, you know, from a running standpoint, he'll get better with running as he gets bigger and more physical. You know what I'm saying? That'll come with time. But he looks like he's on the right path.
I'm gonna give you two things I really like and two things I didn't like. I kind of direct messages to Chad. I know him, and I don't care if he ain't my client. If I have a relationship with a kid, I'm gonna give him. If he trusts me enough, I'm gonna give him my bit. And I told him flat out those two things I didn't like. Number one, this is not youth football. You as a quarterback, you better get down because remember, when you start running, defenders are saying fresh meat. They are saying fresh meat, okay? That's number one. And number two, I told him he needs to speed up his footwork. If he can speed up his footwork, the game itself will slow down because now he will be ahead of it.
You know, I told him that I think those things right there will happen. But other than that, the other two things, the two things that I really like his anticipation. And Chad does have a little bit of a no fear, because he'll let it rip. I mean, I've seen him that dig route, knowing that that backer was sitting there, he absolutely just said, you know what, he just got to make a play. And you know, you and I both know the throwers, the guys who are the passers who gets out there and just say, you know what, I'm just going to let this joker rip. He showed me signs of that. Now, obviously, as the game slows down, I call it the windshield wipers. Right now, the windshield wipers are moving fast as the devil, like it's raining. But eventually, the windshield wipers will slow down, and he'll be able to see it all. And when it slows down, meaning a game of football for him, you'll see him take his game to a whole nother level, and you'll be like, oh, my God. So and those are the things I kind of shared with him. And I'm hoping that he'll take heed those things and add that to into his game. But he said, Coach, I'll work and I appreciate it. But those are two things that I really want him to work. But those are two things that I saw that I really love. And it goes to the Gunner situation is not necessarily similar, because Gunner's not really a dual threat like Chad is. The one thing Gunner's got to do is Gunner's got to be able to have calm feet. He's got to have some calm presence. Okay. He has a little bit of that, like tat, 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 tat. And when his feet slow down, then that means he's got a better understanding of what's going on the field. So I think that if he can work on those things, he will be a guy that's going to be he's going to be top notch. These guys are going to still keep that torch going, but Georgia being a hotbed, and watch these guys, these two guys, be national names. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, you know,
we have some.
What's that? There's a lot of good quarterbacks coming up, because you know you got Banks Atkins out there too. He's a really, really good one. I like him a whole lot. He'll be in Blessed Training program. So, I think you're right, man. I think the football, as far as the quarterback position in football in the state of Georgia, is going to be for years to come. It's going to be like how California, you know, is still currently, but I'll say used to be, because obviously Georgia will get more attention because we're in the South. You know, so it's how it goes. But I do think we'll kind of be up there with California, Texas, when they talk about quarterback play down the road. Down the road.
Oh yeah, and I agree with that. I agree. I definitely agree with that. So we're on the same page. But you know, I think the biggest part of some things that I really want to see is I really want to see the 2019 quarterback.
Okay.
I really wanted to see what these guys did, and I got a good understanding, a good idea of some of these quarterbacks. I mean, I know there's one guy I didn't mention, but, you know, he will be mentioned in that 400 club. Because if there's somebody I'm missing, I don't mean to, but in terms of that 400 club, you had Harrison, you had Dylan Fromm, who's Jake Fromm's younger brother down at Warner Robins.
Yeah.
He hit that 400 mark. And then you got Max Brosnan. Max hit that 400 mark. So, you know, when you got kids throwing for that amount of yards, you know, that speaks volume in terms of what they can do. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care about how much a team throws. You got kids hitting those 400 marks, you know, they're doing something right. And their percentages are high. So, but I think that's what I really had to take away in terms of this weekend. And hopefully we'll see some better things coming up this coming weekend.
Now, let me ask you a question here, and I don't know if you caught the game or if you heard about the young man or whatever, but did you get a chance to catch the kid from Norcross?
I did. I actually watched the game.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I watched.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reason Lewis why I watched Williams. It, obviously, because you got – yeah, Lewis Williams. I watched it because of guys like – what is his name? Scott. They got the corner – they play with us in 707.
Rambo.
I can't think of
Rambo.
Name of
I know you're talking about.
Well, Rambo.
Yeah, Rambo.
Rambo,
yeah.
And then another kid that played the opposite corner. So I got a chance to watch him. I was pretty impressed. Hell, I was even impressed with the kid from Mays.
Oh, Jacquez, yeah.
Jacquez. I thought, I mean, a big kid. I thought those two kids did a tremendous job. I really like their quarterback play, and they absolutely fit exactly what those two programs are looking for.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think, and obviously as time goes on, we do more of these segments with you, you know, because you're coming back every week. People don't know this. And then he'll also see us on we'll have Tony with us at 11 Live on Wednesdays, 7:20, when we talk about quarterbacks as well. Reoccurring segment we'll be doing there. But what do you think has made Georgia so special when it comes to, you know, the development of the quarterback position? Because it's taken off in the past couple years. I mean, you could say, you know, in my opinion personally, I think Davis obviously was our first real big one. That was yours. But, you know, you had Trevor coming behind him and, you know, so forth. The 2019's got a lot better than people thought it would be. 2020 class looks great. 2021 looks great. Mm-hmm. 2022 looks great. You know, what do you think? What's happened? How did it get so much better so fast?
So I had this question asked to me before 2 years ago in the USA Today. I was in that USA Today article, whatever it may be, and mm-hmm. the writer asked me it as well. And I said, listen, man, I said there are a couple things of why it's where it is. Number one, it's early development. Let's make sure we understand this. When I say early development, it's these kids getting necessary training, one-on-one or group training with a private coach at an early age. Here's my point, what I'm saying to you. I would go as far as to say that it really started not only just Davis, but you can go back and say guys like you got Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm obviously had a personal quarterback coach who was at QB Country. You look at Bailey Hockman, who he had. And his dad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You go to guys like, you know, you go to Davis Mills, you go to Chase Price, they have private quarterback coaches and so forth. Now it boils down to guys like Max Johnson. Who is Max Johnson with? He's with Ron Veal. Who is Trevor Lawrence with? Ron Veal. Justin Fields. So all these guys that we're naming that are elite quarterbacks, even these quarterbacks we just talked about, meaning the Jordan Yates. Who's he with? Quincy Avery. Who's with Austin with? What's my boy's name?
Chris Hickson.
You got Calzada, who works with me. You got Jalen Williams, who works with – he's been with me. He's been with Ron. He's worked with quite a – Masco's got his own coach. Gunner's got his own quarterback coach. Lee works – I mean, the list goes on of all these elite quarterbacks. What do they have in common ground? What they have all in common? They all have private quarterback coaches when they're young. So it starts with the development at an early age. Now, look at these kids that we just – most of these kids that we named. 70 to 80% of the kids we just named walked in the door in their high school program and started. Now, it still has to go with playbook, scheme, and what they have at that school. Don't get it twisted. It still has to happen. So you talk about you can start with Bailey Hockman. He went with – he got a good first-class program at McEachern. Jake Fromm was at Houston County. You got Davis Mills. Who'd he go to? GAC. Great quarterback coach over at there. That's the head coach. Chase Bryce had a good coach at his school. I mean, you go from the Trevor Lawrence at Cartersville. He has a great head coach and
a great quarterback
coach on staff. You know what I'm saying? Look what happens with Harrison now. You know, he doesn't have a quarterback coach on the staff. I'm technically his quarterback coach on and off the field. But he's got a great offensive coach, regardless of what they may think about Coach Morgan.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a play caller. He understands the game of football. But the list goes on. So my point, what I'm saying, it becomes a combination of us. What's the old saying? Takes a village to raise the kid. Well, it took a village to put these kids in the situation they're in. And it started with the development. It puts them in a situation to be as physically and mentally prepared as possible when they got to the high school. And then the high school just took over. So, I mean, it's as simple as that. There is no one particular thing other than the fact I can say it still works to the fact that these kids got developed early. That's why they were able to play at high schools at an early age. I mean, that's what I come up with. I mean, I call it like it is, and I think that's what the more to the entire story is. Think about that. And if they don't want to say that, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, the reality of it started because they got private quarterback coaches early. And that's what happened in California. And that's what happened in Pennsylvania. That's what happened in Texas. And now it's happening in Atlanta or in the state of Georgia. It's happening. Mm-hmm. And some people may not want to agree with it, but that's the moral to the entire story. It's early development, and then it's a combination after that
of the program that these kids are in and the coaches that they have on the staff, as well as the high school head coach. Plain and simple.
I agree with you 1,000%. 1,000%. Because you see good quarterbacks out there at a young age, and, you know, you try to tell them, hey, man, please get developed. Please get developed. You know, you see hitches in the game. But, of course, they're kids. You know, all kids have hitches in the game. But you know that if you get with a quarterback coach, then certain things can get cleaned up for you and help you become a better passer in the football. Because here's what everybody has to remember. And, of course, I see it a lot at the youth level. When you see a kid out there running around at quarterback and everything like that, hey, that's great. You know what I'm saying? Good for that kid. Mm-hmm. You know, but at the end of the day, the quarterback position is all about delivering the ball.
No question.
At the end of the day, you got to deliver the ball. You know, if you can't deliver the ball, you're going to find yourself in a situation like, you know, Jalen Hurts, who, you know, had won national championship. I don't know if he didn't win that championship, but obviously played at a very high level in college, did a great job, and then all of a sudden you can't get the ball out. You know, you can't deliver the ball. We had no choice but to replace you, you know.
Right.
I think that if people look at it that way and say, okay, this here at least can be an example. Now, obviously, some other things going on, Jay, as far as reading the defense and everything like that. But let that be an example to you that at the end of the day, if you can't get the ball out, deliver the ball like you need to, you know, you're going to run into some issues. And getting quarterback training at a younger age will help develop that and get you where you need to be. But, Tony, man, this is all we have for this week. Make sure you check us out, man. We'll be here every Monday night talking quarterbacks. Obviously, we'll be here Tuesday on the podcast replaying. And then he will be with me in station at 11 Alive, NBC 11 Alive, Wednesday night at 7:20 p.m. So we got some good stuff for you this week. And I'll make Tony give away some prizes and everything like that as time goes on. But that's all we got for right now, man. We will talk to you later. Take care, guys. We're out.